Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
I want to welcome you to the Owner to Owner podcast. The goal of this series is to have owner to owner discussions about a wide range of ownership experience and culture topics to bring more insight into the individual ownership experience. It's great to have all of you with us. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work at Hypotherm, a 53-year-old global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong globally. I'm fascinated by ownership culture and how being an owner impacts the daily experience at work. My job here focuses on the experiences across career stages, from onboarding new associates to participatory decision-making forums to recognition to learning the stories and advice of our pending retirees. I'm very excited to welcome Jeanette Galbraith from Delta Pipeline, the Chief Admin Officer, and Craig Danley, the CEO. Craig, could you introduce yourself a little bit more and share a little bit about what you do at Delta Pipeline?
Well, I am 30 years ago this year, actually, we founded Delta Pipeline. We're an underground utility contractor in the construction industry, working with private commercial developers. So we do all the infrastructure, if you will. So it kind of fits ownership, the infrastructure for commercial retail space, industrial, manufacturing, medical office buildings, things like that.
So excellent.
My daily task now, it used to be to really run the company, and I 7 to 10 hats for many years. Today, I'm trying to learn how to hand over the company and to partner with people different.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Jeanette, can you share a little bit more, please?
Sure. I joined Delta Pipeline almost 8 years ago now. When I first joined the team, we were not employee owned and transitioned to an ESOP a few years after I joined the team. I oversee the human resources department. So our department is responsible for a lot of the employee ownership educational materials that we send out and the culture building that we do here at Delta. And I also oversee a contract administrations for the company.
And awesome. A few. She oversees quite a few things, actually.
Yeah, I can see a huge hat rack in the back with lots and lots of hats. That's great. So I just want to give a little bit of insight for our listeners in that we focus this podcast on frontline, essential, rank and file workers. What we're trying with Delta Pipeline to share their story is to talk with Jeanette and with Craig and get a different perspective. So this is going to be part of a short series where we're talking with them from their experience and hearing Craig's personal experience with ownership as the founder and transition, Jeanette's being the transition from not employee-owned to employee-owned. And then we're going to follow on with some of their field workers and hear their experiences and stories. And we're very thankful to Thomas Dudley at Certified Employee-Owned for making this connection in the ownership community so we can have these conversations. So with that in mind, I want to jump right into the questions. And Craig, we'll start with you and then go to Jeanette. When you talk about ownership when you're out in the world, you're not around other employee owners. How do you talk about employee ownership?
Well, I actually talk about employee ownership because I've been an owner for, this is my second rodeo, but I've been an owner most of my life for 40 some years, an entrepreneur. And so I speak about ownership as a lot of responsibility, a lot of sacrifice. If I talk too much about it, people will not want to be an owner, actually. So, you know, just the hardships and how to make it part of your life and then blessings that come along with that and how many wonderful friends I have, three of the pipeline and coworkers and how many people we've touched. And, you know, sometimes we don't see things eye to eye, but at the end of the day, I know that we're all better off and we're both better off for partnering together for whatever time we've had.
That's fantastic. And I do encourage where you talk about ownership isn't all just celebration and excitement. There is a hard part to ownership and that extra responsibility. So if you do want to explore that more later. And before we hear from Jeanette, I just want to, for the listeners to know, as often happens with this podcast, Craig is in his car at a job site doing this interview on his phone. So if there are any technical hiccups or little catches in the audio, we understand that. And we're working with folks that are busy working today. So Jeanette, when you talk about ownership when you're out in the world away from employee owners or a network or other companies, how do you talk about ownership?
Mainly, I try to share the value of employee ownership with young people that are new and maybe just my son is 23, just graduated college. And so I get to, you know, be around a lot of his friends, and most of them just, you know, really don't know what they're going to do next. And so really trying to, you know, encourage them that when they are in the job market to try to search for, you know, an organization that is employee owned, you know, sharing with them the benefits and, like Craig said, as well as the responsibility that comes with employee ownership.
That's great. Thank you for that. So Craig, how do you talk about ownership with friends and family? Kind of pick up where Jeanette left off.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk in ownership. There's, you know, the whole goal is the reward, right? It's kind of like what the church does. We dangle a carrot out there and heaven is, the nirvana is where we want to get to. But there's a lot of work and it is, you know, I'm just being honest, it's heavy. There's a lot of risk involved on a daily basis, dealing with people, trying to learn who you have to be. There's a lot of interpersonal work that has to be done because everybody's a mirror to how, and a reflection of how you're interacting in the world. So you really never get away from it. So when I talk about it, yeah, there's some freedom that I get to do some things differently than if I was a 9-to-5 and I just had a job, a job. But I'm not that kind of person. You know, I think I'm the oldest of five boys, so I was born to be in charge somewhere. And yeah, it's nonstop. I mean, even in my dreams, I'm dreaming about work things or work relationships. So it's a constant thing. And it's, my life is a blessing. I mean, absolutely a blessing. And I wouldn't do it any other way. It's been an incredible ride. And as I age and I am trying to learn how do you depart ownership and how do you finish strong?
That's great. I'm going to ask you both. I really appreciate the conversation. I'm going to ask you both in just a moment. What are two or three words you use to describe ownership? And with your willingness to talk about some of the challenge, particularly Craig so far, with talking about some of the challenge and responsibility, what are some of the words that, if you're smiling thinking about employee ownership, I want you to think about those for a minute. And I'm buying you a little time where I'll give an example of talking about the weight of responsibility. When I do onboarding, and our company is very open, like a lot of employee-owned companies, very open with information, even from day one, to help convey to folks that aren't used to seeing sales goals, market conflict, other kind of information that's often, a lot of it's really more like C-suite level, and our new machine operators and assemblers get to see that. What I've settled on after onboarding hundreds of our new coworkers is, I want you to picture almost 2,000 of us standing behind you before you forward an email or post something on LinkedIn. And so I don't know if that helps at all, you know, sort of for perspective, but I think I say that to them in the first 20 minutes they're in the building on their first day. It's just something to think about. And so to kind of balance that, it's an enormous potential wealth builder. It's an enormous responsibility. I'd like to go back to when you're really smiling, like you in this moment at a job site in your car doing an interview. What are a couple of your favorite words that come to mind around ownership for you?
For myself, it's our mantra, and it's people, principle, and purpose. And those three words, as well as our mission and our vision of how to be in relationship with people and why we are in relationship with people, has changed my life. As well as doing the ESOP has really changed my life. It's all about the relationships. How we get work is all about the relationships. How we do the work is all about the relationships. We sell long-term, mutually profitable. People need to be paid well and to know that there's a lot expected out of them. This is not an easy gig. And if you do it with solid principles, with integrity and with passion, and you're clear on your goals for yourself, for your family, and for the company, then you know what your purpose really is, right? And really, our purpose is not to become wealthy and rich. It's to become wealthy inside. And how we treat each other, how we do this together, how we build value together is what really creates wealth. And if we do it right, there really will be a nice check at the end of the rainbow for us to help with the work.
So that's
really people, principle, and purpose is the three words that we live by. And we kid around, like we will go up, I'll go to the job site and I'll look at something and I'll say, is that PPP? And that's kind of how we use as our kind of our grade stick or our measuring stick.
Thank you for sharing that. Jeanette, what comes to mind for you when you're thinking about ownership, employee ownership?
For me, the three words that resonate deeply are purpose, responsibility, and reward. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, for me, being part of an employee-owned company is, you know, being part of something that's bigger than, you know, just a job obviously comes with a lot of responsibility, which, you know, opens up, you know, room for opportunity and reward.
That's great. Thank you for both sharing that. When I do a two-part onboarding program, and we have this sort of called launch day when they first launch their career, and then they come back within the ideally first 30 to 45 days for a two-day intensive about, we're a values-driven company. So I'm hearing that in what you both are saying, some camaraderie within our ownership community, but things about products, how the company works, markets, all of those other things. And I always ask, what does ownership mean to you? So most of them have only been there, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks. And it's just overwhelming what they will say and how much they can connect to it. I think that spirit is in folks that we hire, and they quietly bring it into the building. It's not like you join an employee-owned company and suddenly the lights go on. It's foundational values, it's care, it's how people treat each other in the daily experience. And so very enjoyable for me to hear what you've already shared so far. So with that in mind, thinking of what it means to you, helping a new coworker, how do you help bring ownership to life? We have some very unique perspectives between the two of you as the founder of the company who chose to go employee-owned, and then Jeanette, for you being a long-serving employee who experienced that transition. You're able to find some talent in this hard-to-hire market. You bring in some new Delta Pipeline teammates. How do you, Jeanette, maybe you could start, how do you help them get ownership? What's your way and process?
We've partnered with Certified EO, who have been instrumental in helping us with all of our educational materials. And I would just say lots of repetition. We read over and over and over again, every moment, every opportunity that we get to be, you know, around everyone in a big group during their, you know, new hire orientation, their onboarding, our profit sharing dinners, our family gatherings, just constantly replaying the message about the benefits and responsibilities of employee ownership. We also have found that, you know, the majority of our team are blue-collar workers, so we found it helpful to send home learning materials so that, you know, the hope is that, you know, the learning materials with their families, with their partners, with their spouses, so that, you know, we're not the only ones encouraging our team members, you know, to get excited about employee ownership. We're hoping that, you know, the families are also participating in that and that type of thing. So
that's great. Have you found that the families help bring it to life, or the materials for bring it to life for the family?
I think so. I think that, you know, it's talking points. I mean, you know, magnets on refrigerators and things like that. So that's a goal. I'm not in their home, so I don't know for sure that they're talking about it, but, you know, it's our responsibility to communicate the message and just, you know, trying to do it over and over again until, you know, something clicks.
That's great. And I'll ask your folks when I interview them next, you know, it's a common question. I think is very interesting. It's how do some of these frontline out in the field, out in the factory, how do they talk to their friends? How do they get their family to understand? And do they find themselves talking more about wealth building, more about culture, more about values? It's just very interesting because the answers are always different. Craig, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I get the opportunity. We started a little while back that I get to actually meet every person that comes through our door, and I get to actually sit with them for about a half hour and talk to them a little bit about Delta Pipeline, what we do, you know, why are they interested? Do they know about employee ownership? But really, it's just already what I talked about is people, principle, and purpose. And we drive home our core values, what we believe in, that we take it really seriously. And sometimes a little too seriously. We use it as a measuring stick. And sometimes that can be done too strong. And I'm learning, I'm probably the guilty one of that. I'm a driver and a pusher. And that's how I learned to do this for 30 years. I was been working out in the field laying pipe since I was 15 years old. So to do it differently has been because of people, principle, and purpose, and because of the ESOP, and because now I'm a shareholder. And I'm continuously have to remind myself of what my role really is now and how to let go of some of that and allow people to do their part and trust them and believe in them. And so I hope I bring some of that into the conversation when I meet someone and I talk to them about employee ownership. But I also don't sugarcoat it at all. As a matter of fact, what we do is pretty hard. So we let them know that, you know, everybody's watching, right? Not just me, everybody's watching. Your coworkers watching. Do you really mean what you say? Are you really here to work and help be part of the team? And, you know, I think employee ownership is way bigger than just our company and the 6,000 other companies in the United States. I think that it's something that our country needs and our world needs, that, you know, we need to quit looking at what's out there and who's going to give it to us and how are we going to be responsible for, you know, what we do every day and our part of helping someone understand so that we can do this together, because the only change that we can be is the change that we're personally willing to be. Everybody else can't be the change that we want to see, right? So yeah, so we definitely don't sugarcoat it. And if they don't really want to be an owner, hopefully within that last 30 minutes that I talk to them, they make up their mind then, because once we hire them, we have that expectation that they've cut their finger and we rub our blood together.
Yeah. Well, it's very different, because you don't, in an employee-owned company, you have very different decision-making. And one of the other things I say on the first day, and I choose to take, I may potentially have a similar tone of directness that you do, and that most employees have had, people who've worked have had a tough employment experience. And that's unfortunate for whatever reason. They've wanted their voices to matter. So being kind of the cultural ambassador at Hypotherm, I try to gently warn them that your voice does matter. This morning, you're starting your ownership journey. After 1 year, a full year, you'll be participating in the shares, but you are on your march to that. And we brought you in to ask questions and disrupt us with different ways of doing things to make it safer and faster and more profitable. We don't hire for fit. Just consider that we know it takes a while to get the handle around, you get your hands around, get the handle of your voice now matters, because probably sooner than you're going to expect, there's going to come some peer pressure to say, that was a really good idea. Why didn't you share it with the team? That was a really neat way of doing that. Why don't we tell the other teams? And that's almost the opposite that some of us that had some hard experiences, it sounds good. It's what they signed up for, but it still takes a while to get used to that voice. Really, each person, each voice really matters. So it's interesting to hear how you both are talking about that. So it's great that you work with certified employee owned. It's an awesome organization. So whether you're referring to what they've helped teach you, or sort of what is your homegrown, whatever works for you on this, we'd love some insights. And what do you feel Delta Pipeline does well with ownership culture? And this is a chance for folks that are considering selling into employee ownership, or other employee owners across the country that are listening for new ideas. What are some things that Delta Pipeline does really well that you're really proud of when it comes to ownership culture and communication? Jeanette, you want to kick us off?
Sure. I think getting together every quarter and sharing, you know, what our goals are and how we've done, what our profitability margins are. I think that's really helped with, you know, creating that level of transparency and trust with our shareholders. Something else that, you know, that really helped kickstart us was participating in an ESOP. We went down to San Diego and learned a lot about what other companies, and got a lot of ideas and you know, came back from that. Gosh, I don't remember exactly what it was called, but we came back with ideas. We had 10 things that we wanted to do, you know, in the first year, and just kind of chiseling away at doing some of those things. So, you know, we employed a ESOP culture team. So there are our employee ownership champions, if you will, really trying to, you know, kind of pick, you know, somebody from each crew. We're spread out, right? Where we have some people in the office, but the majority of our people are out in the field. So, you know, getting with our frontline team members and teaching them about employee ownership when they're out in the field and one of their fellow, you know, shareholders has a question about employee ownership, they can help, you know, answer those types of questions. I think that they've, you know, they're like our cheerleaders for employee ownership and have helped us. And something else I think, you know, that we do really well is celebrating National ESOP Month in October, reminding everyone that, you know, we're not the only employee-owned company, and that, you know, other companies are celebrating ESOP Month, and just recognizing our team members. This past October, we went out and served, you know, lunch to all of our booths during the month of October. And, you know, just getting to connect with them and trying to break down, the walls of the frontline team members in the office, and just trying to, get to know them and get to know who their families. And I think that really has helped them understand what we do in the office, and help us understand, how difficult, it is for them to do what they do every day. So I think that is something we're doing well. Again, all of our educational materials that we're producing, I think have helped people understand what it means to be employee owned. Our share statements, I think once, we have a team member that's tenured, they've been with the company for 5 years, and they've finally, really, really bought in to, employee ownership. And then now we've hired 5 new team members, and we're waiting for it to really click for them. And I think once they get their first share statement, that really helps, brings it to reality, right? I mean, hear us talking about it all the time. But, once they see that share statement and see that they actually own, shares of the company, I think that helps them, to really see what the potential is for the future.
That's great. Thank you for the insights. Yes. Craig, what would you like to add?
Oh, she said it. I mean, we, the ESOP culture team, that you have a group of people that are the ambassadors. You know, what I like to add, though, is that culture takes time, just like a fine wine. You don't, that first year, it's going to be a little tart maybe, but this is something that's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we need to remind people of that. And I think one of the things that we are learning to do is, in the beginning, we're always dangling that carrot and about how much money you might be worth, and it's all about the money. And to me, what I'm starting to see is the culture of the companies truly is changing. We've gone from a company that's 30 years old. We've only been an ESOP now for 5 years. Mm. So those, when you turn ESOP, you're starting over. The value of the company is zero. Right. And you're all over. And now we're rebuilding, and we're in a rebuilding mode. And most businesses don't make it past 5 years. So even though that you've been 30 years, we were 25 years, we did an ESOP. And then I say, okay, we're starting over. We're brand new. We're baby. And as you said, everybody does have a voice, but you have a culture of 25 years of people driving and running a company from a hierarchy point of view. And it takes time to change that. You don't just flip a switch and go, oh, everybody gets it, right? Just like bringing a new person on, it takes time for them to get it. They don't get it away. And I think people will get it as the value of the company grows. I mean, it's pretty cool to see you. I don't think even people understand that, right? Like, the company grew 33% last year. That's unbelievable.
Congratulations.
And they look at, that's only 33 cents, but and I think our world expects, including myself, we expect to be able to touch something and change it, and it should be the way we want it right now. So I'm learning, and maybe Jeanette can attest to this, maybe she cannot, I don't know, but I'm learning patience. I'm learning, I really do have a different role, and I'm really trying super hard to change and to allow, I don't know how I'm going to walk away and allow other people to be running this, but that's what it's going to take. And so, but we have a lot of people involved. They send out ESOP, our core value message every Monday. I mean, and as Jeanette said, it is repetition. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. And I'm starting to see some people who were not getting it, and maybe they don't have as much to gain as someone that's only 25 years old. They got a lot to gain, but you got someone who's in their late 40s or early 50s, and we've only been in ESOP for 5 years. They don't have as much to gain.
Right.
Except for their personal touch and their personal gratification, right, of being part of something bigger than themselves. And I think Jeanette's team, I think we spend a ton of money doing this on trying to drive culture and try to educate people on what does it really mean to be an employee owner. So we're committed. We're committed to the marathon.
That's great. I think using the terms about the marathon, the longer term game and all of that, I think just talking to really mature ESOPs. And I think one gift you're providing for listeners is the repetition. You're a fairly new ESOP to really have dialed in on that, get things up to speed faster. It's keep saying the same things the same way, slightly different ways in different settings. I think you both are really onto something important to accelerate that ownership culture even more quickly than it sounds like you're foundational values would have led to. We talk about it here. I talk about it as profit sharing is year to year. It goes up, it goes down. Ideally, it's always high, and sometimes it might not be there. That's how we did this year. When you're trying to talk to, we hire a fair amount of folks right out of high school. We have a training program, a technical training institute, because we couldn't hire enough machine operators to meet demand. So we started a school, in-house school, to get them up to speed quickly, made a big investment in that. So it's a funny conversation with somebody who I've heard more than once in my first day. This is my first real job. Like when we're talking about benefits, like, I don't know how to pick benefits. I've never had to pick them before. And then we're going to talk to them about a retirement vehicle. And so, you know, helping people in whatever career stage they come into ownership, we've kind of settled on, you know, it'll look like a meaningful amount at 5 years. It's really 7 to 10 years that you'll start to realize that the wealth building capability in along with whatever you do with your 401k and other choices. So I want to bring this back to your personal experience. We always ask our guests to share their EO aha moment. So it's not the first time you heard about employee ownership or when you started to like it. It's that moment when you said, EO or employee ownership, this is going to be a game changer. Have you had a moment like that that you're willing to share? We'll go back to Jeanette. Do you have an EO aha moment you could share with us?
I do. The aha moment for me was really when other business owners that, you know, we work with, whether they're our vendors or our trade partners or, you know, friends and family that own, you know, private companies, when they started asking about employee ownership and how to transition to an ESOP and what was it like, you know, what are the challenges, what are the benefits, and really seeing, you know, other business owners express interest in transitioning to employee ownership or transitioning their business to an ESOP. For me, that is when, you know, I really started to think like, wow, this could be, you know, life-changing for so many people and could really help. Craig always talks about it, but for me, it was, wow, I mean, this could be so big for our country and our communities. That for me was where it really kind of hit home.
Thank you for sharing that. Craig, for you, your EO aha moment.
When we decided to do it, right? When we decided to actually do an ESOP and the reasons why. We have always been kind of an employee-owned company, if you will. We do a 10% profit sharing. We give 10% of the gross margins away. And we've been doing that for years. And so we've always been talking about how we can help each other and how we can help each other create value. And, you know, whether there's mistakes or wins, you know, at the end of the day, they all add up to X, right? And we're all impacted by that. But to actually go through the process of selling the business to and creating it, transition into a retirement program, I mean, and the money we paid to actually do that, but, you know, Ambrose Advisors took us through our transition, and it was, man, it took months, and it was just, you know, do you really have a management team? Is there longevity? I mean, you know, everything I had heard about ESOPs before is that they fail because, and I understand why, you know, the owners get this big old check, you know, they've spent their whole life building something, they get a check and then they're out. Well, if they don't have skin in the game somehow, or if it's not a bigger reason, then that marathon of the culture doesn't really get to take off, you know, if they don't really become a shareholder. So we were warned all of this up front. So that was my aha moment. And I've had moments even recently that are just like, this really is a marathon. I mean, it's just, it takes time and transitioning your management team. I'm lucky. I have the people who report to me. I have a team that literally take on the responsibility. They understand, they get it. And now they're trying to do that for themselves. They're trying to create their own team. They're trying to create people who are going to take their place, right? Well, I've been doing that for a lot of years. And now I can finally say that I'm stepping back, looking and going, wow, this is working. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is working. But the other side of that is what Jeanette said. This is absolutely necessary that we as owners and entrepreneurs get that, not that everyone deserves necessarily, but they deserve the opportunity and the chance. And they need to understand what the risks are, and they need to be taught that, because they all look at owners like they have no idea of our story. They think that we just have made all this kind of money forever and that we're just got all this free time. And that's not how it is. And if we're going to change this country, then we need to bring in personal responsibility. We need to bring in personal responsibility along with opportunity and reward. And we need to change the tax structure of this country. I mean, and the only way that I really truly see, just think about it. There's only 6,000 or so companies. Just think if 50% of the companies in the world were employee, right. How would they act differently at home? I mean, I know I act differently when I get in my truck and it says people, principle, and purpose on the side.
Right.
I drive my truck way differently than I might drive my car. Right. So, but it takes time and there is a responsibility in it. And I'm responsible to our shareholders, right? I'm responsible for and my job is to plan for the future. Mm-hmm. So I have a different job than some of the other people. I mean, yes, I have plenty of tasks, but are we on track to make this successful for, it doesn't matter if it's 75 people, 100 people, 2,000 people.
Right.
Are we on track?
Yeah.
And it never stops. That's my aha moment. It mm-hmm. never stops. And you have to be able to pass it on.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, the EO Podcast Network, this, the owner to owner, this is all about bringing different voices, different perspectives. So you, when you were thinking about ownership, maybe you could listen to one of our podcasts and learn a little bit more and connect with an advisor. Maybe it's somebody new to ownership that's just trying to get their bearings and say, as you said very effectively, this is a different ride when you become an employee-owned company. So I appreciate your contributing to this because it's really our goal and mission is to grow employee ownership. So I got two questions for you left in our time together. Is there something about employee ownership that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about yet? And I'll give you a moment to ponder that. You don't have to come up with something if we covered it, but I wanted to give you a chance that I really wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think your questions are awesome. I think they're very encompassing and really rounds out what does it really take. I think it's just as hard as an owner to transfer over to a shareholder as it is for an employee to understand what it means to be an owner. I think it's different paths, but I think, you know, I think it's not an easy process. I think it's you have to dig deep and you have to find your why.
That's right.
Be able to share that.
I think for me, one thing when I was in high school, I mean, we were kind of like brought up, okay, you're gonna go to college and then you're gonna go work for someone, right? I mean, there was never ever any talk about ESOPs or this opportunity. So I think it would be really cool if somehow we could, you know, start educating young people about ESOPs early on. I think that would be helpful. I don't know how to do that or how we, you know, champion that program to happen. But yeah, I just don't think that there's enough people out there that really know about ESOPs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that you, if you don't already, you will, and you'll encourage others in your local ESOP community. Please consider what the distinct advantage in hiring when, you know, folks considering a few job offers are hearing about, you know, social responsibility, long-term wealth building, culture, being able to be pushed, being able to grow. I spoke at the New England ESOP conference about hiring and retaining and onboarding during COVID and really, really encourage ESOPs. If you haven't had a layoff, talk about that. Mm-hmm. If your company's grown 33% and you're willing to share that or whatever form of that information you're willing to share, talk about growth, security, longevity. You know, if 8 years is a long time, talk about that. For you, Jeanette, if 15 years is a long time, talk about that. In these times of uncertainty, we had a group in our onboarding where the cultural immersion, the one in the 30 to 45 days, was about 15 people. And I think it was 8 or 9 of them had been laid off during COVID, not prior. Those stories came out later after they shared that. And so when you think of people looking for security, looking for those other things, I hope all ESOPs will consider being more assertive with leading with what you're good at, but also you're really plugging into a national network of successful companies that work really hard together. So I just wanted to tuck that in on the Delta Pipeline conversation. So it is challenging to hire in these times, and that's likely not going to change. So kind of a culmination of our conversation, and it's also a chance to let our listeners hear you just talk about the company you love. And in Greg, in your case, the company you were a co-founder of, please promote Delta Pipeline, why it's so great to work there. Maybe this conversation can help you land some talented pipe layers or other employees. What are your thoughts? What do you want to leave listeners with about Delta Pipeline? Why is it so great to work there? Why do you encourage others to watch you grow and maybe join forces with you? Craig, do you want to start?
Well, I just think, you know, again, we're a young, 30-year-old, so we're established, but we're a young company. We've got a lot of young people that are coming into this industry. I think the construction industry is going to continue to boom. I think, you know, we do a lot of new construction, but there's a ton of infrastructure that has to be rebuilt. It's not going to ever stop. And if you enjoy building things, if you enjoy working with your hands, if you enjoy seeing a finished product and watching things transform, I'm a big transformation guy. I love seeing transformation in going to different job sites and going to different places. Every day is different. But we're a young company. And you know what? Here's what I think is the most special. We're just regular folks that are trying really hard to do the right thing. You know, we strive to live by our core values and we preach them. The first thing I tell people is, you know, you're going to see all the areas that we don't live them because we never arrive, but we're committed to trying to get there. And that's who we are. And, you know, I think, you know, we're pretty transparent. We're pretty real. Yes, we're demanding. And at the same time, we're absolutely giving and understanding. So
it sounds like a great place to work. Jeanette, what are your thoughts? What about Delta Pipeline and why you're a great potential future employer for someone? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. You spoke about it earlier, Jesse. Really, you know, our training programs, I think a lot of opportunity for, you know, people that, you know, maybe they've never done anything with their hands. They don't know how to use tools or they've never laid pipe before, but we have training opportunities that will help them learn the tools of the trade and help them, you know, climb up the ladder and become a pipe layer, become a foreman, become an operator. I mean, we have, you know, most of the foremen in our company today, I mean, they're in a leadership role, but they didn't start there. I mean, they grew into that leadership role through our training program. So for me, that's exciting that you can actually come without any experience and, you know, come straight out of high school, and that we have, you know, programs to help you learn and grow and, you know, become what you want to be. I mean, whether it's, you know, a management role or, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever you're willing to put in, we have the programs that will help you get there. And of course, our benefits and all of that are, to me, I mean, we do a great job of communicating our benefits, and the benefits that we offer are definitely leading the industry. You know, trying to get people to understand what that's worth is sometimes a challenge. But, you know, when they end up in the hospital or something, that's when they really appreciate the benefits. So
that's great. Well, as a lot of young people are reconsidering college and the investment and is it worth it? I think of companies like yours, companies like ours, and a lot of companies we talk to that are employee owned, there's that opportunity for that development, that growth internally and practical hands-on learning for those that don't want to be in a classroom. So I think you conveyed that really effectively and I really appreciate it. Well, cheering for Delta Pipeline, it's going to be fun to see you. Your 30-year company, young of 5 years in ESOP, grow. And I look forward to being in touch with both of you as new community members to me. And it was great to meet you today. And thank you very much for all that you shared and wishing you the absolute best.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Jesse.
Having us. It's nice to meet you.
You too.
Thank you.
So again, Jesse Tyler from the Owner to Owner podcast. And we'd always love to finish with, if you can work employee owned and if you can buy employee owned. And again, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.